It's one of those occasions when it's not really appropriate to say I'm glad to be here, because that wouldn't be true. I didn't expect to be here tonight. You didn't expect me to be here tonight. And I'm sure Pastor Lyle didn't expect to be at home this evening. But you know, the Lord knew all about it. And I remember someone was to come to speak to me, speak for me one night over in Groveland. He took a bit of a turn in the morning. He was an American preacher and he couldn't come. And so they were stuck with me that night. And I remember the Lord moved and the lady was saved. And the Lord makes no mistakes. And maybe the Lord has just something to say to someone here in Lurgan this evening. And the Lord makes no mistakes. And the Lord is you here and me here. Hopefully that he has something to say to your heart this evening. Genesis chapter 32 and reading from verse number 22. Having said that, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the welcome. And we do trust that Pastor Lyle will be feeling much better soon and that he might know the hand of the Lord upon him. Genesis 32 and verse 22. And speaking of Jacob, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. And we do trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant and inspired word to our hearts this evening. I'm sure you've been at some very special places in your life. And perhaps you look back with fondness to some places you have visited. Perhaps you remember your first home. And you remember even perhaps the place you were and where you were the night you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I'm sure you've been in some really special places. Up until this stage in the life of Jacob, he had been in many wonderful places. If you know the story of Jacob, you'll know how when he was at home, he had to leave home. You'll remember how he cheated his brother, deceived his father, and how his mother and him had conspired together. And eventually, under threat of death, Jacob really had to leave home. And as he left home, he came to a very special place. He came to Bethel. And when we think of Jacob at Bethel, this is where he had the dream and he saw the ladder. And you remember he put his head on that stony pillow. And you know, when Jacob arrived there, it was dark. And how, indeed, it pictures even how he must have felt at that time. It pictures his mood. He had left home. He had left the divided home. He had tried to get the blessing his own way. And I'm sure he felt that God had no further use for him. I'm sure he felt that God was finished with him. And yet God spoke to him at Bethel. God spoke to Jacob, a lying, deceiving cheat. And what a picture of the wonderful and amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was there that Jacob, we believe, to use New Testament terminology, was saved. It was there he describes God as being my God. And what an experience it was for Jacob at Bethel. He left that place in Genesis 29 verse 1 that says he lifted up his feet. In the original it could even be translated, he left with a spring in his step. He left with all the wonderful promises that God had given to him. God promised, "I'm going to be with you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to bring you back into the land again." And he left with these wonderful promises and he truly was a changed man. Jacob then had been at Haran. It was there he met Leah and Rachel. It was there that he and Laban had many battles throughout the 20 years or so that he spent there. And what an experience Haran had been for Jacob. He had been in Bethel. He had been in Haran. He had been in Mizpah. He had left Haran. Eventually, he sneaked away on one occasion and took his wives and his stock and he headed off. And Laban was furious. And Laban chased after him, intending to do him harm. But on the way, God spoke to Laban. God says, you're not going to touch him. You're not going to say anything bad to him. And God stepped in and God was preserving Jacob even on that occasion. And Mizpah became a special place and in many ways for Jacob. It was there that he and Laban parted and indeed they went their separate ways. He'd been in Bethel. He'd been in Haran. He'd been in Mizpah. If you look up in chapter 32, verse 1 and 2, you'll see him in another special place, Mahanaim. And it tells us in verse number 1 that it's here that the angels met with Jacob. Genesis 32, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. But if you look what it says in verse number 6, because he had sent some messengers out to indeed see where Esau was and to let Esau know he was coming. And the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we come to thy brother Esau. Also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him. And I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, Jacob is terrified of Esau. Jacob left under threat of death from Esau. And he's going to meet him again. And Jacob is coming with Esau's coming with 400 men. I'm sure that Jacob was absolutely terrified, but you know, God met him, and God met him with the angels. And he called the place Mahanaim, which means two hosts or two armies. He discovered he had his own army, his own help, and he discovered also he had the help of the Lord. It was a very special place for Jacob as well. Tonight we find him in another special place, verse number 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. He's at Jabbok. Jerry Vines tells us that the word Jabbok means to empty. And it's here that Jacob is going to be emptied of himself. It's here that Jacob is going to be emptied of his own schemes, his own subtlety. It's here that Jacob is going to be fully surrendered to God. And what a place this would turn out to be for Jacob. What a special night this was going to be for Jacob. Remember, at Bethel he saw a ladder. At Jabbok he's going to see the Lord. At Bethel he became a believing man. At Jabbok he's going to become a broken man. At Bethel he died to sin. Here he's going to die to self. At Bethel God saved Jacob. At this brook we're going to see God sanctifying Jacob. He had left Bethel with a spring in his step. He's going to leave Jabbok with a limp in his walk. And Jacob is going to be taught a very valuable lesson. He's going to be taught that the way to victory is through defeat. That's a strange thing for us to try and grasp. But the way to win is to lose. And the path of success begins at the place of surrender. Have you ever reached Jabbok in your life yet? The thing that you and I need most in life, is physically, mentally and spiritually, is for God's blessing to be upon us. Notice what it says in verse number 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And just catch that little sentence at the end. And he blessed him there. The he in these words, of course, is God. The him is Jacob or Israel, as his name was changed. He blessed him there. That's what we want this evening. I want to look at this passage of Scripture. And I want to try and discover the pathway to blessing this evening. Jabez's prayer is one of the most famous in the Word of God. He prays for many things. He prays for growth. He prays that the Lord would enlarge my coast. He prays for guidance, that thine hand might be with me. He prays for godliness, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. And you know, God granted him all that he requested, but the first thing that he asked for is for grace. He says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. I want to discover this evening, I want to find out what is the pathway to blessing here for Jacob. Because it was there that he blessed him. Jacob, as I say, was expecting Esau to come with his 400 men. Remember, he had a death warrant with Jacob's name on it. Verse 22 and 23 tells us that Jacob wasn't going to buckle. He was still going to obey the Lord. He rose up that night and took his two wives, his two woman servants, his 11 sons, and passed over Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. You see caution here. He goes over at night. And yet you see courage here. He still intends to go over this brook. It takes courage to obey the Lord. And now Jacob waits when everyone is gone. And here we discover something very special. We discover, first of all, solitude here. Look what it says in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. The pathway to blessing, surely, tonight begins with you and I being alone with God. I wonder tonight, are you facing a problem? Have you a decision to make? Have you a burden that you're carrying? And the greatest thing that you can do is to get alone with God. Very often the greatest battles are not fought in public. The greatest battles are fought when we are alone with the Lord. What we are alone with God is what we really are. It's easy to put up a show in public. It's easy to pretend we're something that we're not. But truly great men and great women are gallant men and gallant women when they are alone with God. Those who truly love the Lord are the same in their private life as they are in their public life. And here's Jacob, the crowds have gone. All the servants have gone. The flocks have gone. All his business interests, if you like, are away. His family is gone. He's all alone. If we want to know the pathway to blessing, there has to be that time when we get alone. And we get alone with God. Time when we get away from the business. Time when we set the business aside. When we set the affairs that have occupied our mind in so many ways and just take that time to get away from the business, away from the crowd, even away from the family, just you and the Lord. If we want to discover the pathway to blessing, we need to be alone. We need to be alone to pray. We'll say more about it later. The Lord Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Not only to pray, but of course to open and to read the Word of God and to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Someone in the church recently was showing us a little card with the letters J-A-M on it, jam. I've never seen one before. Maybe you have one. It's something that people will present when they're getting on a bus or some other using other public service, and it just stands for just a minute. J-A-M, just a minute. And the person that's holding the card has some disability. And they're asking you to be patient with them. And just to wait a minute. Just to wait a moment till they get the bus fare. Just to wait a moment till they're able to put it into the words where they can say it properly. And God's just saying to us, just a minute. He wants you to spend time with him every day. He wants you to get alone with him. He wants you to draw aside from the things that have occupied you and just get alone with God. And here is Jacob. And Jacob, in verse 24, is left alone. You see solitude here. And then we see surrender here. Look at verse 24 again. And Jacob was left alone, and the rest of the man with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob's alone, it's dark, and suddenly a man comes out of nowhere and begins to wrestle him. Now we'll discover that this man was no ordinary man, it was the Lord. But it's the man here that's doing the wrestling, it's not Jacob. At this time, it's the man who's wrestling, it's not Jacob. It's the Lord who starts the fight. It's the Lord who started this wrestling match. Jacob here is not on the offensive. Jacob is on the defensive. offensive. As I say, it wasn't Jacob wrestling with God to see what he could get out of God. Someone has said, no, it was God wrestling with Jacob to see what he could get from Jacob. I believe it's even different than that. I believe it's God wrestling with Jacob to see what he can give Jacob. I remember someone asked about a friend of mine one time. He said, well, how's he doing? And the reply came back, you know, the Lord would bless him if he'd only let him. And God wants to bless you. And the Lord wants to bless me. And sometimes we're a hindrance to our own blessing. And here the Lord is wrestling with Jacob. This is the world's greatest wrestling match. But in this wrestling match, there has to be a winner. There has to be a loser. There's not going to be a draw. And the strange thing about this competition is that the loser is going to be the winner. I watch tennis, a little bit of tennis once a year. I don't know much about it, but every year Wimbledon's on, you see a little bit of tennis. And you'll remember Tim Henman. Every year he was a gallant loser. Always was a gallant loser. He never got to the stage where he actually won it at all. He was a gallant loser. In sport, losing is really not much good. But when you're wrestling with God and God's wrestling with you, then the way for you to win is to lose. And I wonder, has God been wrestling with someone in the meeting here this evening? Is he asking for more of you? And you know, you've been resisting. Has he been directing you in a certain direction, but you have been resisting? Have you been fighting against God? Have you been resisting God? You see, Jacob, the crooked, rebellious, deceiving Jacob, was fighting against God. And Jacob's saying to God, no surrender. Jacob's refusing to give in to God. But look at verse 24 again. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Do you see the patience of the Lord here? And God wrestled with him right throughout the night. How long has the Spirit of God been wrestling with you? Do you really want God's best? Do you really want to be blessed above and beyond anything that you can imagine? Look again at verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. God wants Jacob to surrender to his will and to his ways. No more Jacob, no more scheming, no more planning, no more operating in the energy of the flesh. And Jacob here is fighting, and he's fighting against God. And God touches him. In verse 25, he touches him physically. He's out of joint. It's painful. And God had to break Jacob before God could bless Jacob. I remember preaching a number of years ago a sermon on broken things. You know, when we break things now, there was a generation when something was broken, they tried to fix it. And if things broke, you tried to get them fixed. Now we have a generation where if something's broken, you throw it out and you just get something new. I'm glad God doesn't do that with broken things. But before God can bless Jacob, God had to break Jacob. There's some wonderful broken things in Scripture. You'll remember the battle that Gideon had against the Midianites. Remember how he had the huge army and he had to lower it again. And then God says, you still have too many. And he eventually ended up with 300 men. He often said to people, you know, you can never be too small for God to use, but you can be too big for God to use. And if you're too big for your boots, God can't use you. God can't handle your ego. And if you have an ego, God can't work with it. And you can never be too small for God to use. And so Gideon sets out with his 300 men. Judges 7 verse 19 says, so Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, they brake the pitchers that were in their hands. Remember, there were three companies, 100 each, and the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It's good to see them all singing from the same hymn sheet. And that's a good thing. But you'll notice they had to break the pitcher and hold the lamp. And when the pitcher was broken, then the lamp would shine. And sometimes God has to break us for us to shine for Him. God has to break us that the brightness might come through. And just like God has to break Jacob here. Needs to break our self-confidence. Needs to break our cold, hard hearts. Needs to break some perhaps with a spirit of bitterness. And we need to be broken before the Lord can ever bless us. Isn't it in Jeremiah we read that how the fallow ground had to be broken up? No, the ground has to be broken up before there's going to be any fruitfulness in the ground. God has to break us that there might be brightness. God has to break us that there might be fruitfulness. Remember the alabaster box of precious ointment, and I'm sure it looked beautiful, and I'm sure it was wonderful to look at. It was very valuable. It was very precious. But until that little alabaster box was broken, no one was going to ever get the benefit and the blessing from it. And we have to be broken for usefulness. We have to be broken for brightness. We have to be broken for fruitfulness. We have to be broken for usefulness. When we think of the feeding of the 5,000, remember how the Lord took the loaves and the fishes and He broke them. And how even in the breaking of them, we see that wonderful miracle. We see His powerfulness. And sometimes we have to be broken that His powerfulness might work in your life and work in my life. Old Jacob had to be broken before God could ever bless him. Sometimes a church has to be broken before God can bless it. And I just wonder what's been happening in your life. Has something been happening and God has really been speaking to you? And God doesn't want to hurt you. God doesn't want to harm you. God wants to bless you. And maybe God has to break you before God can really bless you. You see the pathway to blessing here. You see the solitude. We see Jacob when he's alone with God. Have you been alone with God today? Have you been alone with Him this week? Have you been alone with Him this year? You see, if you want the pathway to blessing, you'll have to get alone with God. You see the surrender. Jacob was resisting God's hand upon him. Have you been resisting the Spirit? Have you been resisting God's direction and God's guidance? Has God been speaking to you and you've been fighting it and resisting it? You see solitude, you see surrender. I think you see supplication. You see, Jacob realizes that no man could put his hip out of joint with a touch. It was no ordinary man. Perhaps Jacob had been lying and he thought it was Esau. This man just comes out of the dark. Remember, he's thinking about Esau. He's concerned about Esau. And maybe he thought it was Esau. Now, this man touches him and his hip's out of joint. And he realizes that he's been fighting against the Lord. Look at verse 26. And he said, "This is the Lord. Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, that's Jacob, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He's not resisting now. He's actually clinging to God now. This is how Hosea puts it in Hosea 12, verse 4. "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." Hosea tells us that he wept and he made supplication. And you know, we won't know blessing unless we spend time in prayer. Could the Lord have broken free from Jacob? Of course he could. Of course he could. But you know, as Jacob is clinging on for the blessing, I wonder, have you been clinging on? Holding on in prayer. Holding on to God, that God might move, that God might bless, that God might answer your prayers. I was speaking a few weeks ago over in Rathfarnham on living in the light of His return. Peter tells us that the end of all things is at hand. Then he goes on to say, "Be ye therefore sober." He's not thinking about alcohol. He's talking about our minds. It means to have a sound mind. He wants us to have our thinking right. You know, if Jesus is coming again, what's our thinking like? And then he not only said, the end of all things is at hand, be ye therefore sober. And then he says, watch. He says, get your thinking right. Look around and see what's happening. You know, coming up to the meeting tonight, I listened to the 7 o'clock news. And the Radio Ulster News said the Parliament in Scotland today voted to allow same-sex marriages. I don't remember the numbers, but I'll give you a rough figure what they were. Something like 100 and a few were for it, about 18 were against it. And they reckon the first wedding, as they would call it, I wouldn't call it a wedding, will be held within 3 or 4 weeks. You see, when you're thinking right, and when you're watching, you realize that Jesus is coming again. Do you know what Peter said? Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And brethren and sisters, if our eyes are open and we see what's going on, and if we're thinking biblically and spiritually, God's people will be on their knees and they'll be praying. And I said to the people in Refrain, and I said, I'm just going to say it simply. If you really believed that Jesus Christ was coming again, you'd be at the prayer meeting. You'd be at the prayer meeting. And you'd be spending more time in prayer. And if we want to get the pathway to blessing, we're going to have to be men and women of prayer. There's no shortcut. We're going to have to stop resisting and start clinging and hold on that we might see God move in a wonderful and a mighty way. You see the solitude, we're thinking of the pathway to blessing. You see the surrender. You see the supplication. Then we ask the question, what about our sinfulness? You see, we can't stay on the pathway to blessing and hold on to unconfessed sin. We cannot have our sin and have the blessing. Look at verse 27 again in Genesis chapter 32. And he, this is God speaking now, said unto him, unto Jacob, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, Jacob. Now, go back a few chapters to chapter 27. Do you see what happened earlier? Genesis 27. This is the time when Jacob had tricked Isaac. He's trying to pretend he's someone he's not. Look at Genesis 27, verse 18. And here is Jacob. He's coming into his father. His father has sent Esau out to prepare a meal for him, and then he intends to bless Esau. And instead of Esau coming is Jacob. And he, that is Jacob, came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto the father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless thee. He's pretending to be someone he's not. He's pretending who he was. He's pretending what he had done. He said he went out and prepared a meal. He's even lying about the food, and lying seemed to get easier and easier for him. And you know, Jacob was asked the question, who are you? And he says, I am Esau. Jacob thought the only way he could be blessed was to be someone else. All Jacob had to do to be blessed was to be Jacob. Because it was promised that the elder would serve the younger, and that the blessing would go to the youngest one. He didn't have to pretend to be someone else. Have you spent some time trying to be someone else? Trying to be someone you're not. Trying to be something you're not. And the Lord's not wanting you to be somebody else. The Lord wants you to be you. Because that's all you have to do to be blessed. But you know, we're back in Genesis 32, and now Jacob has been asked a question. Remember, his father had said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am Esau. Now God has come, and God's coming with the question in Genesis 32, verse 27. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob means supplanter, cheat, deceiver. He had to be honest about who he was before God could bless him. God's asking you tonight, who are you? Remember what he said to Adam? He said to Adam, where art thou? Do you remember when Peter said in John 21, I go a fishing, and he took some of the disciples with him, and they're out in the sea. They're supposed to be on a mountain waiting for the Lord. They're not on the mountain waiting for the Lord. They're out in the sea. They're fishing. They've gone back to the old ways. The Lord was standing on the shore, and they asked him a question. He says, have you any meat? They had to say, no, we have nothing. God wants you to be honest. God's not looking for information. God's looking for confession. And Jacob was going to own up to who he was. When God asked him his name, he says, I am crooked, twisted, lying Jacob. Jacob's biggest problem wasn't Esau. Jacob's biggest problem was Jacob. And brethren and sisters, you and I will have more trouble with ourselves than we will have with anyone else. Maybe the Lord's asking you tonight, what is your name tonight? Sometimes he asked individuals. The Otterface, he loved to have the preeminence. The Otterface, what's your name? I want to be number one name. What's your name tonight? Sometimes he asked the church. Do you remember the church at Sardis? They had a name that they liveth. The Lord says, you're not living, you're dead. What's your name tonight? Again, I was looking in 1 Peter recently, and Peter talks about different problems, and he talks about those who are suffering, but he said, make sure you're suffering for being a Christian, not for sin. And he talks about murderers, he talks about thieves, he talks about evildoers. And then at the end he says, or busybodies in other men's matters. And if I could put it in plain Ulster language, nosy parkers. Can't mind your own business. What's your name tonight? Are you a nosy parker? Are you a gossiper? Have you been dishonest? Because before you can get blessed, you're going to have to be honest. In this sense, God couldn't bless Jacob. God couldn't bless the old, crooked, twisted Jacob. He had to change. Look what happens in verse 28. And he said, this is God. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. He's a prince with God, or someone translated it as a God-governed man. No longer Jacob the schemer, who's got in his hands and everything and manipulated everything. From now on, it's going to be still and know that I am God. And like Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher, and Simon became Peter, old Jacob is becoming Israel. And as someone has said, limping Israel is far stronger than a lying Jacob could ever be. See the pathway to blessing tonight? I want to do this quickly. You see the solitude? You need to get alone with God. You see the surrender? Stop resisting and start clinging. You see the supplication? He prayed and wept. You see the sinfulness? He says, I am Jacob. You see the Savior here as well. Look at 29 and 30. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob moves from looking to the blessing and looking to the blesser. If you like, he moves from being interested in the gift and thinking more of the giver. It's like Paul, who said that I may know him. And Paul was already saved. He wasn't looking to know him savingly. He was looking to know him more intimately. He wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. He wanted to know more about the Lord. He wanted to become more and more like the Lord. And here is Jacob, and he wants to know more about the Lord. And he wants to be like the Lord. The pathway to blessing means that we want to be like Christ. I was looking through the book of Ruth recently, in Ruth chapter 1, Ruth's in the far country. You know, in chapter 2, she's in the field, she's working for Boaz, and Boaz gives her the gleanings, and then there's the handfuls and purpose. And then he, do you remember, he reached her, the parched corn, he invited her to a meal, and he's given her one gift after another gift after another gift. In chapter 1, she's in the far country. In chapter 2, she's in the field. But you know, in chapter 3, she wants to get to his feet. In chapter 2, it's what Boaz was giving her. In chapter 3, she just wanted Boaz. And Boaz is a wonderful type of Christ. And she's now interested in the giver, not the gift. Are you interested in the blessings? Are you interested in the blesser tonight? You see the solitude, you see the surrender, you see the supplication, you see the sinfulness, you see the Savior. He wanted to know him and become more and more like him. Look again at verse 29. You see the little sentence at the end again. And he blessed him there. Now what happened after he was blessed? What would be seen in the life of someone who has been blessed of the Lord? Someone who has the blessing of the Lord upon them. I believe there are a number of things, and we'll do it very quickly. I believe there's a strength he has now that's not his own. Look at verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. I know other translations see this a little bit differently, but no matter how you look at it, the word prevailed means he overcome. And Jacob didn't overcome in his own strength. And Jacob here is described as having power with God and with men. He's got a power now that's not his own. Do you remember when he was wrestling? Do you remember when God touched him? You know, the strongest part of a wrestler is his legs. And if you take the leg out, he's finished. And God touched him at the strongest point. Now, what did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then later on he said this, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Jacob had a strength now that wasn't his own. And there's a power there. A power that's available. A power that works in you and works in me. When we take the pathway to blessing. It's not just about strength. It's also about service. Remember, the Lord had said to Jacob that he was to go back into his own country. And now he's had this wonderful experience. Was he going to be like Peter and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember Peter up on the Mount? They just wanted to stay there. They didn't want to leave the Mount. But you know, down in the valley, there was a young boy who was possessed with a demon. And his father had brought him and he was looking for deliverance. And you know, they needed to get out of the mountain and get into the valley because there was work to be done. God's not blessing you to sit in your hands. God's blessing you that he might use you. And you see not only strength, you see service. Look at verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. You can see he's serving the Lord. He's going in the direction that the Lord had wanted him to go. A believer who's blessed of the Lord will seek the will of the Lord and want to be at the center of God's will. You see the strength in the service, and you see the sun mentioned in verse 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. I know it's talking in a normal everyday sense, but you know, it was a new day. The sun was up. It's a new start. The old Jacob was gone. He's different now. And the sun's shining upon him. And I was thinking of Moses when he had that experience with the Lord and his face was shining. And you know, there are some of God's people and you know to look at them that they've been in the presence of the Lord. There's just something about them. And you know, if you're alone with God and you're seeking his face and the Lord's blessing you, you'll not have to wear a badge. It'll be seen. And I believe seen in your very face. And the sun is shining upon Jacob here. Look at the steps in verse number 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. And he halted or he limped upon his thigh. His walk's different now. And a child of God who's fully surrendered to the Lord, it'll be seen in their walk. Paul again talks about our walk in Ephesians chapter 4. He tells us to walk where they are, walk weightily. Indeed, the word is the Greek word axios, where we get the English word axiom. And if you have a balance, if you put something on one side, it'll affect the other side. It'll equal out. And you know, Paul had been teaching them in Ephesians 1, 2 and 3 all this great truth. He says, you put all that truth on one side and it should be seen in your walk on the other side. And I tell you, if the Lord is blessing you, you'll be walking differently. Your walk will be different than it has been before. You'll be walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Again, Paul says that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You see, what will be seen in someone who's blessed of the Lord, they have a strength that's not their own. They're depending on the Lord's strength. They're involved in service. You can see it. The very sun shining upon them. God has been blessing them. You can see it in their steps. You even see it in the sinew that's mentioned here in verse 32. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is on upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And I'm told the Jews have avoided the sciatic nerve of the hind quarter of the animals. This wasn't ordered by God, but this is something they do because of what happened to Jacob. And I just look at it very simply. What happened to Jacob affected other people. You see, when God is blessing your life, you will become a blessing to others. Indeed, I think that's one of the reasons why we're saved, that we might be a blessing. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, that we're not to render evil for evil. We're not to render railing for railing. He's talking about our deeds and he's talking about our works. We should be like the Lord, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. But you know, Peter says not to render evil for evil, not railing for railing, but blessing. He says, don't be giving back evil for evil. Don't be doing bad things because you think something bad was done on you. Don't be saying something because someone said something. Rather, be a blessing. Be a blessing. Are you a blessing? You know, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, the Lord blessed because of Joseph. No, he was a blessing. Even Jacob here. When Jacob was with Laban, Laban knew by experience, he said, that God has blessed me for your sake. He was a blessing. Are you a blessing? Are you a blessing in the home? Are you a blessing in the workplace? Are you a blessing in the church? Do people look upon you and say they're a real blessing? You know, there's such an encouragement. There's something about them. See, when God is blessing you, you will be a blessing to others. Are you a blessing? What a wonderful thing to be a blessing. You know, my time has nearly gone. I know you've all heard about the D.L. Moody and how Moody was used in such a wonderful way and how so many thousands were saved by the grace of God. And I know, you know how it was Henry Varley who said, it remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to him. And Moody says, I want to be that man. And you know, God hasn't changed. God's still the same. And what an impact you could have if your life was fully surrendered to the Lord. Has God been wrestling with you and you've been resisting him? And the Lord wants you to start clinging to him now, that you may get the blessing that Jacob had. You see the strength, you see the service, you see the sun and the steps and the sinew. Something else here. Remember, Jacob was scared. Remember, he was scared of Esau. Just go into chapter 33 for a moment and look at verse number 4. Esau is coming with 400 men, and I would think Esau hadn't a change of heart. But something must have happened. Because look how Esau greets Jacob in verse 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. The biggest obstacle in Jacob's mind was Esau. God took care of the obstacles. See, when you're surrendered, see, when you stop resisting and start clinging, God takes care of the obstacles. God can do things that you and I cannot do. But you know, if we're resisting him, if we're fighting him, if we're working against what he wants for our lives, we're not going to see this. You see the pathway to blessing tonight. You see the solitude we have to get alone with God. You see the surrender we're to stop fighting. You see the supplication we're to start clinging. You see the sinfulness. We need to be honest and say, I am Jacob. Wherever it is. You see the Savior. We want to look to the Lord. You see what can be seen. You can see the change in the life of Jacob because of this experience with the Lord. I was speaking at a youth rally on Saturday night up in Cookstown, and I'd been talking about Genesis chapter 34. If you know the chapter, it's a horrible chapter in the Bible. And if you read it, you'll know why it's a horrible chapter. And Simeon and Levi are involved in some cruel, cruel thing. And old Jacob on his deathbed said, cursed be their anger. And he said they were going to be scattered, and indeed they were scattered. But you know, there was a time in the history of the Levites when Moses in the book of Exodus asks the question, he says, who's on the Lord's side? And the Levites stand up and they're counted and they said, we're on the Lord's side. And I said to the young people, when I think of the question, who is on the Lord's side, I think it from three different angles. I see it as a question of necessity for those who are not saved. Who is on the Lord's side? Because Jesus says, if you're not with me, you're against me. It's a necessity. If a person's not saved, they need to be on the Lord's side, because if they're not, they're on the devil's side and they're going to hell. Then I think it's a question of reality. Who is on the Lord's side? Who's really on the Lord's side? You're really saved. But I think it's also a question of totality. Because we can be saved. And yet if we're honest tonight, when the question's asked, who is on the Lord's side? Are we really on the Lord's side? Are we committed? Are we faithful? Are we dedicated? Are we really on the Lord's side? Are we really standing up? Are we really being counted? It's a question of totality. Who is on the Lord's side tonight? Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just take a few moments to thank Thee for Thy Word. Lord, we thank You for indeed Jacob's experience. And Heavenly Father, we thank You that he stopped wrestling and started clinging. We thank You that we read that there he was blessed. And Lord, we just pray for all in this meeting this evening. And Lord, perhaps You have been wrestling with someone here. And the Spirit of God has been striving with someone. Lord, they've been resisting. I just pray tonight, Lord, that they'll stop resisting and start clinging and hold on, that God might bless them and bless them abundantly. Lord, not only will they be blessed, but they will be a blessing to others. Lord, we realize there are times when we have to be broken. There'll be someone in the meeting tonight and they have been broken lately. Broken in some way. Lord, they maybe felt that somehow God has abandoned them and God's finished with them. Lord, we pray that You might speak to their hearts tonight. They might see that You're working in their lives. And in order to bless them, Lord, You had to break them. We pray, Lord, that they might rise up and be used mightily by Thee in these, the last of the last days. So Lord, bless Thy Word to our hearts this evening. Help us to be honest tonight. When the Lord says, what is your name? If we're Jacob, let's be honest. Do speak to our hearts and encourage us. For we do ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing again. As Walton has said from our Praise Him hymn book.